Yesterday we talked about the various scriptures in the New Testament that show that Christ is the fulfillment of all the law and the writings and the prophets. And I thought we'd go through a few of the obvious scriptures that in the Old Testament that show this. So let's go to Genesis 3. It's the last book in the Bible, right?
Yeah.
And the Lord God, in verse 14, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shall thou go, and dust shall thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, that idea of bruising the head, as I said to you, it means to overwhelm or overcome or destroy. And the idea is that the seed of woman, the only seed of woman that has ever occurred is the virgin birth, shall destroy or shall bruise the head of the serpent. But the serpent shall bruise the seed of woman's heel. In other words, shall be an antagonist, shall cause him to walk differently than he would without him. But as another proof that the human mind is the Antichrist, it's the idea that dust shall thou eat all the days of thy life. The only thing that gives the Antichrist sustenance is that which comes from the earth. And as opposed to the believer or to Christ, which he gains his sustenance and satisfaction from only the Word of God. And the believer gives his satisfaction from only eating of the flesh of the Son of God. And so the idea that it's impossible for... That's why in 1 John chapter 4 it talks about they speak of the world and the world heareth them. Because the people that are still of the flesh, it doesn't matter whether they're saying they're in the name of God or not, the Gentile world, all it can do is speak of the flesh. And they call the flesh spirit, which is just crazy. Everybody understand that? We gain our worth, which is the desperate search that man always has. He can't live. He can live 40 days without food, but he can only live 3 days without liquid. And the idea that liquid represents the worth, And the solid food represents solid food represents the sustenance and satisfaction. And so it's strange that God made us so that you can only go 3 days without water or liquid, which really is your worth. If you don't feel that you have worth of any kind, then you have
satisfaction is not even
right. Sustenance and satisfaction are meaningless. And so this is why the afkamen or the communion or the bread and the wine are so important, because they symbolize that we no longer gain our sustenance any longer from the same way that the Gentile does. We gain our sustenance only and our satisfaction only from eating of the flesh of the Son of God, and we gain our worth only from that blood. Is that clear to everybody?
This just made me think, and I thought yesterday when you were talking the same thing about the bruising the heel and about Jacob wrestling with the angel and his leg being out of joint. It's like the promise isn't make a deal with God and you'll get stronger and better and be able to run faster and excel. It's your walk will be
different.
Forever different.
Okay, then in Genesis 49, when Jacob gave his prophecy to the 12 tribes, I won't go through all of them. All of them reveal the mystery, but the most obvious one is Judah, verse 9. Judah's a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. Remember, Shiloh is a word that means that which is of peace. And so the type has lost its value when Shiloh come. Judah has lost its value when Christ came. Amen? Well, let's go to Numbers 21. We could go through the whole book of Leviticus to see the mystery of Christ, but we won't do that today. We probably couldn't finish that in one day. Since it took us about 3 years to do it before. This is when the fiery serpents were biting the Israelites because of their rebellion. In verse 5 it says, and the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much of the people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpent from us. In the Hebrew it doesn't say serpents, it just says one, serpent, from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. Now the word looketh there means not just, it means to gaze continually and intently. It doesn't mean just give it a momentary glance. When he looketh upon it, he shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it on a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Well, this is one of the most mysterious parables in the Old Testament from a traditional standpoint. Because what would the serpent have to do with causing the people to live? So let's go to John 3.
Big John.
Verse 11. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that which we do know, and testify that which we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that hath come down from heaven, and even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So, the serpent in the wilderness looking on him became the central issue. And it's because you've got to see this, that when you gaze on that cross and on Christ on that cross, you are seeing that the human race died. John said that if one Paul said in 2 Corinthians that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Jesus Christ was the last Adam. Christ overcame the serpent in this way. He died as Son of Man, so that only that which is of the Son of God, only that which proceeded from the Son shall live. And as long as the meaning of the cross is, if you just sit there and look and say, oh, thank God Jesus died, you're not seeing the cross. You have to, when every time you see the cross, or if you're wearing a little cross around your neck, every time you look at it, you've got to see, I died. That means I died to everything that I am and will and could be. There's a new creation that's there that can only be revealed when you empty yourself. He cannot occupy where you are. There's no more clear representation of what the doctrine that we believe in than this parable of the fiery serpent, if you can understand it. You see?
Yeah, it's like we're all afflicted with a fatal disease, and there's only one cure.
Death. And then his own right arm has gotten him the victory.
Yeah. He's holding up a sign saying, here's your cure. Here's the captain of your salvation. Yeah. Follow this, and we look.
Okay, and we look intently. We never let our eyes depart from that. Because if in the wilderness when Moses held up the fiery serpent, it didn't do any good unless they looked intently. If they just glanced at it, looked at it for a minute or two, and then looked away, they would die.
Listen, this is the essence of much of religion: is all religion looks at it, but they look away after they gazed on it, and they go about their business.
That's why the whole jillions of religions talk about, you know, the Spirit of Christ in you. But it's not, it's Jesus Christ in you, because you have to understand that his complete death, which means your death.
They're used to following the signs of the zodiac, right? Campsite, they got these things set up.
Right.
And here's the new one, a dead snake.
Okay, let's go to Deuteronomy 18.
It's the same thing. It's like, it's always troubled me in Bible studies is we spend 30 minutes in Bible study looking at it, and then we walk out the door and look away.
That's troubled me a little bit, too.
It's funny you would mention that.
Where are we going?
Deuteronomy 18. Remember, Deuteronomy 18 from 9 through 14 is all of the stuff that you cannot do. You know, consult charmers or wizards or necromancers. And then in verse 15, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee. Now, it had to be that. It had to be this. This mystery of Christ had to be of man also. Of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him you shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire anymore, that I die not. Point of it is, had Christ come in his glory, the human race would have died. If Christ revealed himself in his glory right now, we would all die, because we can't take the glory of God. It would destroy everything. And so Christ, that's the perfect definition of his humility. He took on the form of man.
Yeah, we were just reading about this thing where Moses, you know, people said, we don't want to go, why don't you go up there?
Yeah.
You know, and it's the intermediary that Christ is the same. Like you said, it's going to be like me.
Right.
They couldn't even take Moses' face.
Yeah.
And so, the idea that let's skip down to verse.
So the thing that Benny says in his concerts about
so much glory up here.
Well, I mean, he's feeling something, but it isn't the glory of God.
Yeah,
it's high on what's coming out of his body.
Well, it's also it's high on the Anderol he's taking.
Put that on you.
I don't care.
I know. And I know they're listening.
I didn't say which Benny.
Benny. Just to make it clear, Benny Hinn.
Benny Hinn.
Just to make him very nervous, we have copies. We have copies of the drugs that he took and takes because of his condition of being bipolar.
It's a medical condition.
And in verse 18, what?
Where are we turning to?
We're still in Deuteronomy 18. Huh? I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. In other words, you're dead meat if you don't pay any attention. All right, well, you remember we've talked before, I mean, every scripture is about Christ, if we could see it. It's either about Christ or other than not Christ. And so all the Psalms are the prayers of Christ, written by the Spirit of Christ in David, for Christ in us, the hope of glory. And unless we do what many of them do, which just read half a psalm or a piece of it here and there to justify their flesh, the psalms will minister to us in a way that will cause us to know the meaning of humility and why emptying is so necessary instead of how-tos. Now, so the psalms are the prayers of Christ. The parables, fundamentally, Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, is a comparison between the flesh and Christ. And so and Job tells the full story. I mean, you can go on and on about seeing how each book of the scriptures of the Old Testament gives us a more fuller and more complete picture of Christ. And so it's important to recognize that Psalms are the prayers written by the Spirit of Christ in David, now for Jesus Christ in us. All right, so go to Psalm 16. Well, you should read the whole thing, but let me just start in verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in that hope, the hope of his resurrection in me. Remember, the seven usurpers, the seven people who were in the land of Canaan, or in the promised land, were the usurpers of the land. And there were, each one of them was a type of something that's going on within your land, or your physical body, because all of those usurpers are still in all men. And they're on the seven mountains of Israel, where are the seven high places in your mind. And that's where the whore of Babylon sits, on those mountains in your mind. Now, the reason that hope is mentioned here, it's in connection with the resurrection, because, as we've talked so many times, the last enemy to be destroyed, the last usurper on the land to be destroyed in you, is hope. Because if it's hope that's not based on the resurrection, it's a usurper. It's a Jebusite. And that's why the whole process of what Benny Hinn does, he said, well, if just one person in all these 20 years has gotten healed, it gives the people hope. Well, so did snake oil. I mean, that's not the point. Giving false hope is the evil. And it, from God's perspective, it is the most evil for a believer, because it will forever destroy the possibility of that vessel, you, being filled with the fullness of Christ. Because you will always have some false hope. And if it's there, then for you, the Jesus Christ is not come in the flesh, because you've got something left.
Something other than the alive hope.
Right. And that's why it's so vital that you see through all of these false ideas that you think you want. I mean, because your mind is forever going to lie to you. Your heart is forever going to lie to you, because it's of the curse. And so that's why, you know, people used to be so sincere when they're talking about what they feel and what they want, and it just made me sick. And that's why I came up with it, that sincerity is like sucking on a menstrual rag. I mean, it's just sick from the spiritual standpoint. And that's why people got so mad at me, because, you know, you remember what I did with that, and still do, I hope. But I hope I've passed that on to you, so that you have the zeal to revenge that ridiculous false hope. I mean, I can name names of people that are here that still are nursing it, and they just mope around nursing their false hope. You don't want to do that. Not around me anymore. Right, Pete?
Right.
I try not to mope around you.
Yeah, me too.
I try not to be around you.
Mope down the street.
You're going to go mope down
the street?
You are really a sick puppy.
That was the house of mope.
You need to have a special bench for people to mope on.
Get a mope bed. Moping benches.
I wish I'd never said the word mope.
Moping around.
Mope with your false hope.
Yeah. Hey. You can do a rap song, a spiritual rap song.
Let's not do that ever, ever.
Next issue.
Yeah, the last word. Yeah, are you there? Are you the last word?
In fact, that's a great idea.
Do a rap.
Only bust a move.
Only what?
Bust a move. It's a phrase that was in for a while, and now it's sort of on its way out. But
I think it's gone all the way out.
Because you haven't heard of it?
No, that doesn't mean.
You see,
I haven't heard of anything.
Very popular.
Lil Oli.
Let's give a shout out to all our.
Or let's not.
God.
I think this is a very, very good place to quit.
We have this treasure in earthen vessels.
Right, especially since all of the Gentiles and the reprobates are going blueberry hunting.
That's right.
I think that's bless you.
No, I'm glad you're going blueberry, as long as you bring me some. Is Betty going to go?
Yeah, sure. She's going to take the relatives' house, too. She volunteered for scaffold work.
She can't move around now.
Johnny
may be power washing our house today.
Yeah. So be careful. Be afraid.
Did he ever come?
Don't walk anywhere near the house.
No, but
he's coming in today.
He's going to enjoy that.
He's walking around.
Anybody have anything edifying to say? Gary, do you have anything, any additions or subtractions or any response from this morning?
I
don't. We better take it big guy quickly.